So kind of changing the topic a little bit. So what do you think, I think we all have gifts in these areas when we're trying to articulate or explain different things. So what do you feel like is your, if there's a concept or idea that like you're particularly good at or you tend to have like this way. So if there is one, let us know what it is. And then two, maybe it's the one you're most comfortable with. I don't know. Yeah. But, or like the one maybe where we've seen the most success where people are like, whoa, Luke, I've just never seen or considered that before. Because it's just a way of sharing best practices, right? I mean, we're all...
No, I appreciate that. I mean, I like to consider myself as a systems thinker because I'm trained in that and because it matches my personality type. And so I like to think of myself as a systems thinker. I like to think that I have at least a working knowledge of power dynamics, how those things play out. So, those are things that I feel like I bring to spaces. And I'm very cognizant of the fact that, I learned a lot of that stuff through being a jerk or like making mistakes and put me in my place. And I also recognize the fact that I carry blind spots and I'm going to walk into those spaces with blind spots as well. And mm-hmm. I try to be mindful of those things. I try to work on how we be in community and how we make sure that I demand the participation of others, demand the inclusion of other voices, mm-hmm. Whenever I can. That's just like an intentional step that I decided that I'm going to take.
So, all right, I've got I got two different kind of questions. One is going to be like the penultimate, ask a white guy in the movement question. Just because, I got a white guy in the movement, so if I don't ask that, my aunt's just going to be kind of pissed. So, my certainty on this is very high. I don't know that what rural poor white people bought is going to help them at all in this past election. But with that, I would also say, I know, well, this is my perspective, so I can't really speak for anybody else. I don't know we've ever made the opportunity of diversity very appealing for rural poor white people either. I've heard a lot of don't do this or you're not that. And two, even, the experience of being the white person in other spaces and trying to fumble through the understanding of stuff, right? Like people can get pretty punitive in you trying to come to your understanding, which I understand because in there trying to teach you, they've taught like somebody for the 48 millionth time, right? So me trying to teach you about your whiteness, of course I don't have a lot of patience for that. But if we can't create spaces where they can show up and not just be damned and understand that this is day one of the process, they're going to ask some stupid questions. Like, of course they're going to ask stupid questions. I still ask stupid questions. And don't feel the pressure of needing to have an answer for this. It's more just like a thought conversation of how can we get better at onboarding who is really left out and I think most lied to as a group. They were sold a bill of goods and all they get is this concept of whiteness that's not paying off. And I mean, there's definite benefits, of course, right? But the thing that they're making the gamble on, it's not going to pay off. I mean, let's be real. There's not going to be a bunch of factories that come here. Right. We're not going to go back to the 50s. It's just not true, And we haven't created a space to make the appeal of the vision we're looking for really appealing and inclusive enough that they'd want to get on board. So just, your thoughts, opinions on that. Like, what could we do?
without bowing to whiteness, you know, like, because you got to do both, right? You got to, like, make the appeal to the individual, but not.
I don't know if I ultimately have an answer to this question.
Well, that's good, because if you did and you hadn't told anybody, we'd probably been really pissed.
Well, here's the thing, is, like, I would have told you, I'd have given you an answer on November 8th, without a doubt. I'd have given you an answer of why we need inclusive steps. Like, why we need, why it is incumbent upon those of us who consider ourselves to be in the movement to, or folks who are consider themselves to be on this journey of discovery of their own humanity and what it means to work against power and privilege and oppression. Like, on November 8th, I'd have given you a dozen reasons about why we need to be working harder to create inclusive spaces that invite folks that come from positions that we don't agree with to participate with us. And, you know, I recognize that in the sort of like the defining positions of this podcast that you include inclusivity as central to what we're doing here. And what I can say to that is that on November 8th, I would have had a lot of answers on why that's important. Where I'm at now is I've moved to a spot where I'm not sure of the answer to the assumption that premise is built on, the assumption being that we need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm no longer ready to answer that question affirmatively.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is I'm holding this question of why do we think that we need to create inclusive spaces for folks that disagree with us? Is that a distraction?
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by distraction is that a space, given where we are at now in this, you know, post-Trump election era, is that a space where we need to be investing our energy, do we need to look more internally within the movement and invest our energy in maintaining this space?
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to be honest about what is realistic in terms of are we creating that space because we hope that people will see the light and come over to our side? Are we creating that space simply because we're scared to let go of the people that we don't consider to share the same belief systems with us?
Mm-hmm.
What is it about holding that bridge that we continue to see as worth the investment and the time and the energy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would have told you before the election that, yeah, we have to hold that bridge, because if we don't hold that bridge, how else are we going to create this inclusive world? Now I want to know is what's the point of an inclusive world where folks get to have their positions when those positions ultimately are oppressive and reflective of a dehumanizing belief systems. I mean, if I'm honest, like right now, I ain't too hot on holding space with folks that continue to maintain oppressive viewpoints.
Mm-hmm.
And that I recognize that there's some fallibility in me right now in how I'm locating myself. But I'm going to sit in this space until I find a good answer of why I should be engaging folks that do not share these beliefs in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And until I find a satisfactory answer, then I don't know where I'm going to go with this. Because here's the thing, and this may sound harsh, But I don't know where niceness has gotten us at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, creating inclusive spaces, inviting folks with differing opinions, especially when those opinions, because that's ultimately what we're saying here. We're saying that, call this arrogant if you want, but, you know, we are saying that we have a belief system that is life-giving and ultimately is the correct belief system. I mean, don't like that word if you don't like that word, but ultimately we're putting our lives on the line for this.
Yeah, no, we've got a high investment.
Got a high investment in this, and we ain't doing this if we're like, maybe this isn't the correct way to live our lives, yeah. Right? So
there's probably a lot more certainty.
Right. Yeah. We're pretty certain in
I would say the certainty level is probably different, though. I mean, I don't know. I'm just imagining. Because I haven't seen any, like, white people that are willing to die for white. I've seen, like, white supremacists. But I guess I'm talking about just, like, your average old, like, poor girl.
Maybe. Well, I mean,
like,
maybe the ask
like, I'm willing
is
to,
not...
like, die for... Maybe that someone will bring a like a factory here. You know what I mean? I don't see the same. But like,
no, but they're definitely willing to allow families to fall apart,
mm-hmm.
right? They're definitely willing to buy into narratives that ultimately cost them their jobs,
mm-hmm.
cost them their health insurance, right? Cost them their
right
security and. They're ultimately willing to buy narratives that continue to show them as, you know, exceptional compared to other folks, that those narratives are, ultimately, you know, through capitalism, are stripping them of the very life that they need in order to survive. So maybe they're not willing to, like, march to the front line and take a bullet, but they're willing to swallow poison for 40 years that kills them in the end anyways. I mean, so my question, I mean, I just don't know if it's gonna be worth the time and energy to invest in trying to create space for people that we disagree with to come over to this side. And maybe I'm wrong, maybe we can create that space in a way that is life-giving, but, you know, me personally, right now, I'm looking at folks that I love and care about who, on January 21st, their names, because they are DACA recipients, are already in a registry that has all of their information, their address, their phone numbers, their family members, everything is in that database.
Oh yeah.
That
Muslim. They're gonna do the Muslim.
You know, folks that are Muslim, you know, I'm looking at people that I love and care about, whether they're undocumented folks or Muslim folks or queer folks that come January 21st, there is a real life threat to their very existence. And I'm having to make a decision. Am I going to invest in working alongside of them to create protection, to create communities, to work to make sure that they stay safe? Am I going to invest my energy there? Or am I going to invest my energy and try to create space for folks that I disagree with, so that maybe one day we can sit down and have coffee together and not want to be angry at each other?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where am I going to invest my energy? And as much as I ideologically believe that we need to be creating space to bring in folks with differing opinions, logistically, I just don't know if that time is there anymore.
Because of the acuteness of the problem.
Yeah, we missed our chance in many ways. We had 8 years of Obama to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And the acuteness of this moment, to use your word, I mean, it's a great word, means that maybe we're going to have to let go of some of that stuff that we should have been doing a better job of anyways.
Well, and I think, too, even when you look at, like, the movement and even inclusivity, like, there's roles and spaces for all sorts of people. And two, like, I still hear a lot of the, I mean, I don't know even what you're saying, right? Because, like, I don't know. You know what I mean? When you bring up your argument, I don't have a great, like, complete, like, flip,
no,
I know I'm
no,
right answer
right,
to that question
right.
either. But I do think from a systems perspective, there would be something that needs to happen at some point in time, right? To find true balance, even if we don't know what that answer is. I would say the acuteness of the moment still may take precedence, but I'd say the demands of systems would also still, even if we don't know what the answer is, we might have to, you know, we gotta take some...
The demand of maintenance of the system calls for that.
Yeah. Well, so, to create something truly harmonious and stable and...
But we're not even talking about that yet.
No, I know. But if we get to where we're going...
Yes.
We have to figure that out.
But in order... I mean, God, now we're talking about, like, you know, how do we build and tear down at the same time? But if we're honest with ourselves, the perpetuation of spaces for people to be, to maintain oppressive viewpoints...
Well, and I'm not advocating that, you know, there's a cost to we.
Sure.
And, like, I believe that if you choose to do the not we, you will always be less than us. And I would like to articulate, because we will be better with whoever chooses to join us. And every person that adds, that, like, gets the we will be better for. Now, there's a cost to being in the Standing Rock community, right? Like, there's a cost to, like, working in the kitchen. There's a cost to being part of any group and any team, right? And you have to play by the rules, and you have to, like, do the respect thing, you know?
Right.
I'm not saying
right.
you get to join we and not be truly down with we. Like, you're gonna have to,
right?
But at the same point in time, you know, we're missing the appeal, and in order to sustainably get where we're gonna go, if we don't find a space that articulates that value, then I don't know where we're gonna be. And I would say I didn't expect either of us to have to answer this question.
So
today.
So here, right, there's the part of me, like, the part of me that pushes back is also the part that wants to be mindful that we work against savior complex, that, like, this moment can be saved and we're the ones that can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that, and I know this from my own personal experience, is that sometimes you learn because things collapse and fall apart in life.
Mm-hmm.
You go through...
No, I think
you
we're
go
in
through
that space.
Hell,
I think we're in that space
right
now.
So...
Shit happened.
If
what
we're,
could we learn?
If we're not going to be saviors, then if we're going to move away from the savior complex and we're going to invest our energy and our time in working alongside communities who have a real threat to their existence, then... There are some folks that occupy conservative positions that are gonna collapse.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna lose their health care, they're gonna lose their jobs, they're gonna go through hell.
Mm-hmm.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Right? But there's some lessons that are gonna be learned in that space.
Yeah, so
and
maybe
it's that space.
Yes,
that
no, you're right.
Them.
Maybe that's the thing. Maybe the whole thing was you had to fall to get up anyway.
Right.
So unless I've heard it as, you know, sometimes, you know, it's like you have to hit bottom. Like, sometimes you just want to push someone as they're going for bottom and just hope for the bounce.
Right, right.
And perhaps that's the space that we're in, is that we need to see that the me is clearly of less value than the we.
Right.
And maybe that's the thing that gets articulated from the results of the choice. Like I said, you didn't need to necessarily have the answer to the question. It's the discussion that has the value. And it's the discussion that I appreciate.
Let me add this one thing. So... Probably like 3 months before the election, there was an activist, and I cannot remember his name, but and I'm paraphrasing him, but he essentially said, if Trump is the price we gotta pay to kill neoliberalism, then let Trump win.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's been being said in black spaces for a while.
Right. And yes.
And they were like,
definitely.
We're not gonna save you this time.
Right. Definitely, right?
Yeah.
And so if this is that moment, if it is the moment now where we have to watch society as we know collapse so that we can begin to build another one, then it is time for us to go into that moment. as hellacious as that is going to be for everybody, maybe this is that time.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I guess my role, and especially the role of this specifically, is if that's happening, there's still going to be the opportunity for the Shining Wii.
Yes,
and I still honestly believe
there
that there's the space for the excellence of what that really is to be shown, and I believe like that's still the place that we gotta go. And I agree with you, sometimes we gotta stumble. I mean, you know, I didn't learn the best lessons because I got it right the first time. I learned the best lessons because I was wrong and I made mistakes,
right.
And I looked stupid,
right.
And I was dumb and vulnerable, but you know, I do know better from those things,
right.
But you know, here is that space for, you know, those that are willing to be more enlightened to here is the we, and it is greater than me, and that's just the deal. And anytime you want to join us and like play by our happy wee rules, we'd love to have you. But if you don't want to join, we're gonna be better than you,
right.
And like, I'm sorry that you choose that, and like maybe one day you'll change your mind, but I'm still gonna do my we, and I still gotta keep it that space where it's the most important thing. But we're just so far removed, you know, as kind of a final thought, because we got pizza waiting for us. That, but it's like in the theme of the conversation that you had here, and I'm totally jacking this from Trudeau, but he'd said, you know, people came over here and they met us and they were like, "Who are you?" And when you, and they were like, "What do you mean, who are you? We're the people. We're like the people here."
Right.
Like, no, but like, what group are you? And like, we were like, group. We're just like the. We're this group of people here.
Right.
That's us, right?
Our day means the people. Right?
This is just us. This is us doing the people thing. And we all descended from tribes because that was the space that we all worked from best, you know? You can't just, like, kick out or throw, you know, like, making someone leave your tribe was almost certain death back in the day. But we forgot we were just people, you know, and we forgot that we all need to be here for each other and that we're living, you know, I can't have breakfast without oceans of people helping provide, like, my oatmeal. You know? That's thousands of folks making sure I get what I need. But we forgot that, and this individualism and the neoliberalism and the me-ness, like, took us away from that stuff. So I'm hoping we can just back to that stuff. So with that, Luke, thank you so much for coming and being here and having the conversation. Like I told you, it just kind of ends up what it ends up being.
Yeah, my pleasure.
And so I'm glad we had the opportunity. So thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we shake hands, right? But that's like, you can't see that.
Yeah, we shook hands.
We shook hands. Right.
And we might hug later.
Fair enough. Right.
All right, y'all. That was part four, the final piece of the interview with myself and Luke Black. Fantastic stuff. He has a very interesting and critical mind that helps me see and understand things in a different way. And I really appreciate our friendship and relationship. He's someone that I thought y'all could learn quite a bit from, so that's why I wanted to bring him onto the podcast today. So I hope you enjoyed it. Again, if there's something that you thought was interesting or you want to analyze that a little bit more, you can call the Inclusive Activism Hotline at 860-576-9393. Again, that Inclusive Activism Hotline number is 860-576-9393. Or you can email that question to inclusiveactivism@cox.net. This next part is where I do the weekly ask of my community to help me with this project. So your reviews on iTunes are critically important for people finding the podcast, for the podcast continuing to grow. Also, the fact that that can someday be a potential source of revenue. I am looking potentially at bringing a few ads on board as far as a way to keep the podcast available for free, but I do want to find a way to pay my director, Sarah, and also anything that can help me offset some of the cost and time that it takes to do this for y'all would be very, very helpful in the future. So rate and review us on iTunes, share us on Google Play, and also you can rate and review and share us on Stitcher as well. But as many different ways we can get this podcast listened to is going to make a huge difference for us in making sure that this is something that's worth our time, and it shows that you care about helping us as a community. And as always, if you're interested in booking me or bringing the power of inclusive activism into your organization, you can always do so at inclusiveactivism@cox.net. That's INCLUSIVE ACTIVISM@cox.net. And you can learn more about this organization at www.inclusiveactivism.com. Thank you.